everyone, and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast. This is episode 44 and a half, and I'm your host, Andy Godoy. So right guys, today we have got a fantastic episode, and the reason why I'm saying that, we have our final audition for the Retro Asylum podcast. Before I go on to that guys, let me quickly tell you who our final audition is. Our final audition is Avani, and he's done a superb audition. It's absolutely amazing, and I'll tell you what guys, we've got more fantastic things lined up for today's episode. So not only have we got Avani's audition a little bit later on in the show, we're going to tell you a little bit about Retromania, then we're going to tell you a little bit about the Essex Car Boot Challenge, and we're going to tell you how to win some amazing beat arts. So before I do that guys, what I want to do, I want to say thank you to our sponsors. Now the first things first guys, we cannot do this show without our sponsors because it does cost quite a bit to do these shows weekly because we get so many downloads and so many listeners. It does, you know, the podcasting host does cost quite a bit. So big special thanks to Anthony Ogden, Darren, Stelios, Michael Keith and A-Beads C Start. So big special shout out to you guys. You really sort of helped us out big time. And if you guys would love to sponsor us, all you need to do is go to the main page at retroasylum.com. Right at the bottom, there is a PayPal button. And why not donate? Donate as little or as much as you like. It would really help us out and keep the show going. So alright, so let's move on to the next thing then. I want to talk to you guys about Retromania. Now Retromania is a little event that I've been dreaming about doing for absolutely ages. And why am I doing this event? Well, I've got a wife, I've got a baby, I've got family life, shift work and so on. And I never have the time to play all the consoles and computer games I own. And slowly but surely, over the last couple of months, or the last year I should say, my collection started to grow quite a bit. But the thing is, I never have the time to play them. And if I do, it's not quite the same playing these consoles by myself. So I started thinking, well, why don't we just organise a little meetup where we can all get together. It's not going to be a massive meetup. Probably going to be about a maximum of about 30 people, if lucky. And if it's less than that, it doesn't matter. All that really matters is that we're going to get a group of like-minded people sitting around playing some retro games. Now, let me quickly tell you exactly when this is then. So this is being held at Wickford in Essex. And that is in the Wickford Community Centre. And that is SS120AG. The event will be held from 10 in the morning until 6 p.m. and that is just the gaming side, because after we put away all the machines at 6 o'clock, we are going to do like a little pub quiz and the bar stays open till 11 o'clock. Now one of the most important things I forgot to mention, Retromania will be held on August the 25th, which is a bank holiday weekend on a Sunday. So guys, it's going to be absolutely amazing because we're going to have loads of different things. We're going to do a little hardware clinic. We're going to have little tournaments. Let me tell you about some of the games we'll be playing there at the tournament. Now first of all, at 11 a.m. we're going to play a bit of Street Fighter 2 on the Super Nintendo. At 12 p.m. we're going to play Micro Machines 2 on the Sega Mega Drive. At 1 p.m. GoldenEye on the N64. 2 p.m. by popular demand, Mario Kart 64 on the N64. And at 3 p.m. we've got Virtual Tennis 2 on the Dreamcast. And at 4 p.m. we have got a kickoff on the Amiga. Now, also at the event, we are going to be doing a live podcast. So you guys can sit back and enjoy, contribute, you know, just why not listen to us? Because it'll be our 50th episode and we're really excited about this. And I want to give a few special thanks to a few people as well as our listeners in the community. I want to give a big special thanks to Steve. Now, Steve is the guy who's letting us borrow over 40 machines. So that's 40 different computers, ranging from the Mega Drive to the Saturn, the Dreamcast. All these different machines are going to be there. And he's supplying all with monitors. So a big special thanks to Steve. At some point, we are going to get Steve on the podcast. Now, speaking about Steve, we are going to get another Steve, hopefully at the event. And Steve is from the Monkey Chunk Show. and he's bringing, I think, two Retrocades. So they're like mini arcade machines. So Retromania is going to be absolutely fantastic. It's going to be a superb event. And once again, guys, that is on August the 25th, which is a bank holiday Sunday. And that is in the Wickford Community Centre in Wickford in Essex, SS120AG. And that is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. But that's just the gaming side. Right, so I've talked a little bit about that. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, guys, I want to talk about the Retro Asylum £20 car boot challenge. Now, recently I went to one of these, and I tell you what, guys, it was like Aladdin's sort of cave of wonders there, because I struck it really lucky. I got absolutely loads of different things. And I don't want to go on too much about it, but I got myself a C64, a Saturn. I'll tell you more about it on the next episode, which is episode 45, because I want to talk to Glenn about that. But I'll tell you what, guys, these little car boot challenges are amazing, because it's nice meeting up with like-minded people and looking for stuff, talking about retro games. And I tell you what, it's such an amazing thing to do on a Sunday morning when the weather's really, really nice and it's summer. So these events, you know, aren't going to happen while the weather's good, while these car boot sales are still happening. And the next one we're doing is in August, and it is August the 18th. Now, if you want to go to the Essex Dunton Car Boot Challenge, why not contact me at andy@retroasylum.com, or contact me on Twitter, which is retroasylum1. And it is fantastic. It's a fantastic day out. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, I got some amazing things, and the Dunton Car Boot Sale is fantastic. Just want to give a big special thanks to the Retro Hunter, aka Ali, because he's the one who put me onto this, and I'm hooked on car boot sales now. Big special thanks to Mikey and Paul Davis as well, because they've been with us a few times for the car boot, and as well as Swaney, who's come along a few times as well. So hopefully you guys will join us in August the 18th for the car boot challenge in Dunton. Right, so one last thing I've got to talk about before I go on to the audition podcast and tell you how it's going to go, because I've got some exciting stuff about that. I want to tell you how you can win some amazing bead arts. It's created by Darren. If you go on Facebook and type in A Beads C Start, you'll see that he creates this unbelievably fantastic bead art based on sprites from retro games, arcades, and so on. They're absolutely stunning. And Darren's kindly enough donated three little bead art as a prize, so you can win a Super Mario, a Sonic, and of course the greatest 8-bit hero of all time, one, the only, Dizzy. So to do this, head on over to the forum. There is a little thread there, and what it is, to win, all you have to do is take a photograph of something retro gaming related. So you could take a picture of, like, I don't know, a Sega Mega Drive, and snapshot it, use Instagram, or use Photoshop, or use GIMP, use anything. You could get, like, your wife to hold it, you could get your best friend to hold it. As long as it's retro game, you know, related, and you took the picture, then that's absolutely fine. So you can win some amazing bead art. Now, just before I go on to the main audition here, I want to quickly tell you what's going to happen. Over the last couple of months, we have had some fantastic auditions for the Retro Asylum co-host positions. Now, the co-host, we're looking for two, and the winners basically will be sort of be site team members. You'll get to see behind the scenes of the site. You'll be able to decide what we talk about on the show, and yeah, you'll be able to give us a big input. And yeah, of course, you'll be hosting the UK's number one retro gaming podcast. Now, the way this is going to work, guys, is today is Friday, and it's Friday the 26th of July, and I'm going to put up something on the forum on Sunday, and it's going to be on the 28th of July, and that's when the poll's going to go up. And if you go on the forum on the 28th of July at retroasylum.com, you're going to see there's a little poll there, and you have to vote for your two favorite auditions over the last couple of months. And the people with the most votes basically become the new host of the Retro Asylum podcast. So yeah, let's get on to the main thing then. Today's audition is Avani, and he sort of used his MP3 from one of the video he's done, but it's been shortened down. If you need to check Avani's video channel on YouTube, which is Avani's Game Room, I believe. So guys, sit back and enjoy, and please feel free to give us some feedback on this episode. Thank you very much. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to Avani's Game Room. A bit about me. I'm 38 years old. I've been playing and programming and just messing around generally with computers since the early 80s. 82, Christmas 82 I think it was when I got my 48K Rubber Key Spectrum, which is basically where it all started for me. Playing games, learning to program, you know, things kids do, typing in stuff from books and magazines, just to actually get the hang of what I was doing before moving on to machine code. A couple of years later, that was followed with a Commodore 64, and I went through the same sort of rigmarole there as well. It was playing the games, learning to program, and moving over to machine code instead of BASIC, and it was a lot of fun. I did do a lot of things which probably weren't on sort of the right side of the law. Little things that might have been classed as illegal, cracking games, removing protection schemes, sort of thing, especially on the Commodore 64. I did kind of get into that quite a bit. A lot of it was taking the games, removing the software and turning it into what was called a turbo loader. At the time I didn't have a disk drive for my Commodore 64. I had a cassette. So basically converting them into turbos, it was a lot better on loading the games. It took a quarter of the time to load. The only disadvantage with that was things like, I don't know if anybody's been through all the ocean loads and things, but basically you get some really nice music while the game loads, and sometimes you'll have a counter to tell you how long. All that's removed with the turbo loader. The screen kind of goes red and you'll see little dots and lines, and it'll load really quickly. But that was just to speed things up, as I didn't have a drive at the time. Then sort of moving on from the C64 was Amiga. I moved on to the Amiga in about 1988, I think it was, or 87. I'm not sure, it'd been out a while, and I got myself an A500 with a 1 meg upgrade in it, and it didn't last very long. I'm not sure why, as soon as the A600 came out, I kind of upgraded to that. I just wanted something a little bit smaller, took up a bit less space, and it seemed to have a lot better connectivity. I had the PCMCIA slot, I got myself an external disk drive, which was much better with the computer being a lot smaller because it fit on my desk. And then about, a few years later, I'd actually left school and started work, and at that time I was basically like every other teenager. I had money to burn, and it wasn't long after I got my A600 that the A1200 appeared, and I went out, and the day it was released I went and bought it and resigned my A600 to the loft. Obviously I kept the disk drive down, and I still kept doing my programming and other bits and pieces. A couple of years later, I got myself a Mega Drive, played all the games on that. Didn't really get into programming because at the time it just wasn't available. Not like nowadays where you've got emulation and cross-platform development. It makes it a lot easier to do. From there I moved on to the Super Nintendo, which, although on paper it looks better, it's more powerful, has a better sound chip, etc. I didn't kind of fall in love with it like I did with the Mega Drive. The Mega Drive was, I don't know, I think it was because when I was growing up, I lived near a seaside town, and every weekend we were at the arcades, and most of the games I played were Sega games. Things like Golden Axe and Outrun and generally just everything was a Sega game. And obviously there was some that weren't, things like Double Dragon and Gauntlet, R-Type, but the majority of the games, I'd say, were from Sega, basically. There was other stuff I enjoyed from the arcades, like APB. What else was there? There's quite a few. I mean, we spent hours and hours in the arcade just moving around the different games. It wasn't too expensive. I mean, we could put 10 pence in Double Dragon, me and my friend, and complete it on 10 pence, which was really good because we had about £1.50 to spend. So it made sure that it went quite a long way. For our £1.50, we spent a good 6 or 7 hours in the arcade just playing different games and having a good time. But back to the SNES, I don't know what it was. I liked Super Mario World. There was other games that I liked. I loved Mario Kart. I thought Mario Kart was absolutely amazing. It was so much fun for us. I think mostly because we never played it alone. We always played in a little group. You know, have a bit of a drink, maybe order a pizza, spend a night in playing on Mario Kart and other bits and pieces, and then sort of a couple of years down the road came the PlayStation. We spent a lot of time on the PlayStation. We got a multi-tap, playing the football games, four of us. There was a lot of other games we used to play, especially Gran Turismo and Ridge Racer, and there's just a lot of really good titles for the PlayStation. Things like Resident Evil. And the list is just massive. But still, it was kind of sort of taking rivalry with my PC at the time. I was playing a lot of games on my PC and my Amiga. And the PlayStation, I don't know. The games I enjoyed, but it kind of got to the point when the Voodoo cards and the 3D accelerator cards came out on the PC, I kind of left the PlayStation behind. And I moved over to the PC full time. And I've been using the PlayStation recently, playing my Gran Turismo, which is still a lot of fun. But my main gaming machine now is my PC. I also have an Xbox. I play a fair few games on that as well. Mostly the more common games. I play Battlefield 3 and Call of Duty, Black Ops 2, Forza 4, Forza Horizon. I have most of the Guitar Hero games and things. The missus likes to play on the Guitar Hero games. She likes role-playing games as well. She plays on Dragon Age and Dragon Age 2. Basically, I play a lot of emulation, but I do have most of my systems. Unfortunately, they're in the loft, and I generally only have one down at a time, mainly because there's just nowhere to put everything. We're kind of cramped, we don't have much room. The last one I had down was my Commodore 64, and I programmed a little intro, which was going to be an intro for my YouTube channel. It was basically a homage to the Ocean Loaders. I originally programmed that on my real 64 with Turbo Assembler. And then I thought to myself, well, I'll try a cross-development system and I'll do it on the PC because it's just a lot faster to code it, get it tested, get it debugged, get it working. I mean, it's very simple, the demo I did, but it's just so much faster to do it on the PC. I use a development system called KickIDE, which is basically a front end for Kick Assembler, and it just made things so much smoother and easier. It compiles, checks, and puts it all on a disk for you, all in one click, which was a lot easier than messing around with the Commodore 64, saving it out on that, and then getting it transferred to the PC. It was just too much hassle, so I've kind of went with the PC development side of things, and I'm hoping to do that with my Spectrum as well, and maybe it's my MSX. Find a couple of cross-development systems, have a little go, and just see what comes of it. I mean, most of the machines I've not programmed in probably over 30 years, definitely over 20. But I mean, it's something I enjoy doing. It's fun. It's relaxing for me. It helps take my mind off a lot of crap that I have going on with my life at the moment. It just kind of grounds me. So yeah, I'm hoping to maybe put some of that stuff on the channel as well. But there's a few systems that I've never really programmed before. I mentioned earlier the Mega Drive and SNES that I'd like to have a go at, but everything's down to time, unfortunately, and I'd love to be able to fit everything in, but I just don't think I can. So it's basically going to be as and when I can fit stuff in. There's a lot of games and things I want to take a look at and put on my channel, sort of maybe as mini kind of reviews, probably more half-assed than anything else, but just of the games I really enjoyed, especially during the 16-bit era and the 8-bit era. I see the PlayStation, it's kind of retro for me, but my heart lies in the 80s at the end of the day. Basically because I was brought up on it. Most of it's probably nostalgia. It just, so many memories come back of me being a child, playing these games and doing things with them and hacking them and whatever. One thing I think I'd like to mention is, I think it was around about 1986 or 1987, a friend of mine brought a game around for the Spectrum. I hadn't had my Spectrum out for a couple of months at the time. I was messing around with my Amiga, and he'd brought this, I think it was Turtles, and he tried copying it and it worked, but he was a bit lazy and he didn't want to copy out the massive code sheet that came inside the cassette anyway. So I got my Spectrum out and we decided to load the game, have a look at it, and it was basically enter a 4-digit code from this code sheet and it lets you play the game. And he was wanting to do a couple of copies, so we got the game, we loaded it into memory, and I decided, well, I don't think this will work, but I'll do a quick check. So I decided to peek the memory and have a look for the first code on the sheet, and lo and behold, it found the first code at a memory location. So I decided, that's a bit strange, I thought it might have been hidden a bit better than that. So we did a search for the last code on the list, and then the last code came up, and that gave us our memory range for where the code was. So all I did was filled it with zeros, saved the code back out to the tape, and we tried it again, and it worked, and it accepted just 4 zeros as the code. So I used one of my old logos and put it on the loading screen for Turtles, saying who it was cracked by and what code to enter. I don't know how prolific it was or how much it got spread around. A lot of my other stuff, I tended not to really put my name on it too much because I didn't want to get into trouble. I'd already been in trouble quite a lot previously, especially at school, where we were using BBCs and BBC networking and things, and I managed to hack into that and take control of the whole network and lock it down, which got me suspended from school for 2 weeks, which was great fun. we actually had an open day. It was a little while after I'd been suspended, and what they tended to do was they opened up the computer room, which was basically full of BBCs, and I think we had one Archimedes that was sat in the corner as well, and they slept parents and children come in, and they were doing like a, it was like a fundraiser. They charge them a little bit of money to come in and play on the games, and whoever got like the highest scores and things, well, they'd win like a little prize. And I remember one of the games, it was a karate game, I'm not sure which one it was, but it was wrote in BASIC, so I decided to alter the code for it and made player one invincible, and decided that I'd be player one for a while and no one could beat me. And yeah, I got into trouble for that as well, but it was a lot of fun at the time. Yeah, it got me into a lot of trouble. It was fun at the time. Obviously, looking back now, it was a bit childish, but what are you going to do? Kids just want to have fun. And for some, it's playing football or whatever, but for me, it was messing around, taking things apart, programs, computers. But yeah, it was a fun time for me. I think I've rambled on a little bit too much, to be honest. It's been quite some time. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this waffle, I suppose it is. Completely unscripted gibberish. Thank you very much, and I'll see you next time.
Right, guys, so I really hope you enjoyed that. It was a great audition, and like I said, that was the final audition for the Retro Asylum podcast co-host. Now, there will be, like I said before, this Sunday, we're going to put something on the forum, so all you need to do is head on over to Retro Asylum and basically get voting for your two favourites, and you could choose who the new co-host will be. Now, once again, I'd like to thank our sponsors, guys. We really couldn't do the show without you. I'd like to thank Anthony Ogden, Darren, Stelios, Michael Keith, and A Beats C Starts. And again, guys, you could really help us out by just doing a little donation. You can put as little as you want or as much as you like, and it does go a long way to keep these shows going. Guys, thank you very much, and we'll see you next week with episode 45. See you later. Goodbye.